You're listening to Channel Radio. It's 1 o'clock.
Is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on this Tuesday, the 25th of May, here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jewel Serkin.
Hello, Paul Andrews.
Who's going to be another year older tomorrow?
21 again.
I know. For the fourth time.
Yeah, I've still got my own teeth, darling. That's the main thing. Flossing and hoping that they'll hang on. I don't fancy dentures, do you?
No. Funnily enough.
You do?
No, I don't. I don't really. But I did say the other day in a fit of pique, do you know what? I think I might have all my teeth out and get dentures. It'll be easier.
You haven't had an easy ride with your teeth, have you?
I haven't. I've had a load of problems and, And
But I don't think, you know, taking them out and putting them by the bed is not good look, is it?
It's not, no. And
you can never really chew a steak again, can you, or a bit of celery or something?
Well, I'm assuming not. I don't know because I don't have any false teeth, but I'm assuming not.
If you've got pots of money, you could have implants.
Yeah, but you see, that's the difficulty as well for me. I've got problems with my jawbone, so I can't have implants.
A bit like those sort of pterodactyls we dig up at times, you know,
exactly,
with the jaw
crumbly
bones, you find them.
Yeah.
I was going to say that, first of all, I was going to ask you the most important question. Mm. Who might our sponsor be?
Sure. We, this week, are sponsored by the lovely folks at DG East. Independent new and used vehicle suppliers and services, supplying car and light commercial vehicles, utilising a majority of the UK-based leasing operator services. You can find out all about the lovely folks at DG East by going to their website, which is www.dgeast.co.uk.
You see, you couldn't have said that without teeth.
True.
Yeah, so I think your teeth are... You'd have gummed it, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
I listened to some old radio presenters who, you know, in their heyday were sort of in the 60s and probably the 50s, I'm not quite sure, but, you know, were household names, and you can tell that they've just got slightly different teeth, just slightly. what I was going to say was that Gerard Yamavit, Yamavitticus. You say it so well.
Yeah, I don't, but it's not. I don't pronounce it properly. But Gerard and I,
not like his mum would.
Yeah, no. Gerard and I have come to an arrangement where he tolerates the way I pronounce it.
Yeah, well, I've had lessons and I still can't say it.
Yeah.
I mean, why couldn't he have been called Smith? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, yeah.
But he
It's Lithuanian for Smith.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I had another conversation about that with Pedro, who's a chap I use for some podcast stuff. And he's got from Malta, I think, and he's got like a lovely name, and I said what a gorgeous name, Ferreira or something. He said it's like Brown, you know, or Smith. He sounded very romantic.
Funny enough, talking about that, I was watching a comedy thing on Facebook yesterday from the United States, and a guy did a whole gig on names. And, you know, in America, he was saying how Americans now have got this thing about using last names as first names.
Oh, yeah, they do, don't
they? So you're Tyler Scott or, you know, Morgan Smith and stuff like that. He said you'd never meet Mexicans called Lopez Garcia or...
I love the name Lopez, though, don't you? Because I have a sort of cartoon brain, as you know.
Yeah.
So I always visualise everything. I'm not good with numbers, but I'm very good with visuals. And when I see Lopez, I think of some sort of coyote loping along in the desert, so I get really weird pictures about people, but I see Lopez as a laid-back sort of Mexican. loping along.
Yeah. Is it, I'm going to get this wrong.
Again.
Lupine. Is it lobo, lupine, or something like that? Is Spanish for wolf or fox or wolf?
Oh, that's... I used to work with... when I was at Share Radio with producers and people, I had Rita Lopez. Mm. Didn't you say she was... That was wolf.
No, I think I can't remember what it is.
Well, maybe her name wasn't Lopez, Rita something, and it was Wolf.
Yeah, yeah.
I can remember.
Lobo or something.
Yeah, that's right. We'll have to look it up. Because lupin, of course, which you were referring to, is a flower. So we're completely going off the range, aren't we?
Give me your lupins.
Yeah.
See, now no one.
Stand and deliver.
Stand and deliver your lupins. No one will know what on earth we're talking about now, will they?
I was talking about Gerardia mellificus.
But now you've got to explain lupins. Now you've got to explain stand and deliver your lupins.
Well, what was it? Was it.
It was Monty Python.
Yeah, everything was Monty Python. I love Monty Python.
Yeah.
But Gerard did a very interesting tweet this morning. She said, trying to keep on track of the whole subject.
That would be Gerard.
Yeah, Mellificus.
Okay. See,
I have my own teeth, not the horse's. You know, I could borrow Amanda's horse teeth.
You could,
on a bad day.
That's not Amanda's teeth. That's Amanda's horse's teeth.
She hasn't got horse teeth.
Because she'll be straight on now. Yeah. I haven't got horse teeth.
She's got lovely teeth. Yeah. If she's listening, yeah, she's got very nice teeth. But her horse has also very nice teeth. But what I'm saying, and likes carrots. What I was saying, because it's not good to give them sugar lumps anymore. That's all gone. It's carrots, isn't it now? Pony nuts and carrots.
Pony nuts.
Yeah. Horse nuts. How are your horse nuts? Anyway, as I was saying, Gerard Mellificus said this morning in a very apt tweet, because it is a business show, listener, in case you've lost track.
No, they won't know that. Like,
it's not a dental show.
If they'd listened to it for the last 12 years, they'd never know it's a business
I haven't even
show.
Got onto my health yet.
No.
But he was saying that one of the good things that's come out of lockdown, there have been some good things, is that a lot of people have done online learning.
Yeah.
And I wanted to chirp up, but I was driving, so I didn't, and I'm saving it for when I get back. But Serenity Becker, who is brilliant at training her staff, so she's got two salons, as you know, one in Faversham, one in Swalecliff, Whitstable. Lots of girls working for her, ladies working for her, doing beauty treatments. Very high standards. Now, I've watched her training, and so they come out of 3 years of college, and she has to train them because they come out and they're not actually that good, without being rude. So she will polish them up and make them, you know, it's all attention to detail. And she's done a training course to be an actual teacher. And I said to her years ago, you need to run a school and get them coming out of school actually knowing what they're doing.
Mm.
With a certificate.
Amanda was doing online training yesterday.
For horses things?
No, for her new job, a health and safety at work.
Health and safety.
Yeah. It's interesting. About 2 years ago, I had a massive argument on Twitter with a local councillor from somewhere in South London.
Did he block you?
He did eventually, yeah. He started off by... He just posted, there's a big problem... Nobody, once they leave school or college or university, nobody learns anything anymore. Nobody goes night school, yada, yada, yada. And I went, no, that's very true. People don't go into night school and adult learning in the same numbers they used to. But, of course, that doesn't mean that people aren't learning anything, because most people go and do it online.
Yeah. Open university is...
And he went, no, that's not true. Yes, it is. There's literally hundreds of thousands of online videos and learnings. You know, I know dozens of people that teach themselves stuff online.
Yeah. Languages,
DIY stuff. There's whole YouTube channels.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, putting my juicer together, got a new juicer, and we had to go onto YouTube to learn how to do it.
He wouldn't have it. He said, no, that doesn't happen. Yeah.
Who was he?
Oh, some councillor from somewhere in one of, I can't remember which borough, it was like Lambeth or Greenwich or one of the South London borough, and I think he was a councillor in charge of education. And I understood what he was trying to do. He was trying to push adult education learning, you know, formalised classroom learning.
But some people can't get to that. They've got young children.
But as what I was trying to say to him is, maybe their model was wrong now, and they ought to look more at online, because that's where people are learning, but he wouldn't have it.
When I did my BA Honours Photography, which was in Greenwich, it was, you know, over there in Medway. I had
University of Greenwich.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I had three kids, And I drove there.
Blimey, that was a course.
Three kids to look after. And I
was
drove
that, was
there.
Was that part of curriculum? Or?
Well, I've been looking at students thinking they had a, you know, live the high life and they had plenty of time. And it was like, I had to be there at 9 and then I was often there till 5 and there was stuff in the evening to do as well. Plus, you have 6,000 words dissertations. It was very, very stressful, very, very hard. And, yeah, so not easy with three kids at all. And
absolutely.
I had sort of an au pair that helped and came around tea time. But
Will she write your dissertation?
Yeah, she did all that for me. Because now they just do it, don't they? Just copy it online and things.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. Should we read an email?
Paul Manville has literally just messaged me, said, hold on, it's gone again. He said, I've been studying on the FSB, loads of courses online. Absolutely, yeah. There's tons and tons of stuff on, and it's literally everything you could possibly imagine online. But the argument with this chap was, I had another argument yesterday, where the Her Majesty's opposition have decided to support this idiotic idea of Biden's to make a global corporation tax rate. And it just shows you how ignorant, and I can't use any other term, these people are supposed to be highly paid politicians that pass laws, and they don't even know what the law is today. And they're talking about changing it without knowing, you know. They're going, we need to charge 21%. It's not fair paying... The corporation tax rate in the UK for big companies is currently
25%.
Yeah, and you're going, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah. It's just idiotic.
Well, it goes back to the old thing that very few of them have ever run a business.
Yeah,
and
or ever worked in a business even.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that counts for all sides of the political spectrum, not just one side. Absolutely, Paul. Paul Manville of DC Weddings. The FSB has tons of webinars, on-demand training courses, as do other organisations. There's so much stuff out there, it's unbelievable, and you can learn at your own pace. I've had a tweet from Neville Gore. He said, the hard copy's out. It's time to get yours. It's their book, and he's one of the contributors to this book. It's called Golden Heart 2, We Are Your Family. If you want to find out more about it, follow him on Twitter, Neville Gaunt. Is his Twitter handle?
He's not at all gaunt.
He's not, no.
We've had a fabulous tweet from Local Desks, and Local Desks is somebody that's appeared on my Twitter sort of recently.
Yep, I know Local Desks.
And
they're going to be on the show next month.
Are they?
Yeah.
They say that they're here to help drive the new normal by letting hosts capitalise on their empty desks and meeting rooms by renting them to remote workers by the day.
Yep.
You can find them on 3Ws, localdesk.co.uk, and you can follow them on the Twitter at Local Desks. See what they did there?
I did.
They've got the best Twitter handle. It's exactly what their business is. I like that.
A chap called Dominic, and I had a long chat with Dominic last week. He's going to come on the show, as I say, next month, or actually in July, I think, early July. What they're doing is absolutely really clever, especially now where we are, where a lot of people have got spare space hanging around in their offices and they can't afford the rents that they're paying.
Well, at my house, because it's my birthday tomorrow, as you know.
It's not, is
21
it?
Again.
Yeah, yeah, for the fourth time.
You know where I'm going? I'm going to Reeds, which
is
my favourite.
Yeah, you've mentioned it for the last 3 weeks.
I've got
a
little double room booked for me and new husband.
Yeah, yeah.
But my house at the moment is full because they've got Shay in one room up in the bedroom working on Zoom. And then I've got Mimi in my office working on Zoom. And then the new husband's down in the lounge on his little standing coffee desk working on Zoom. And woe betide if anybody knocks on the door because they can't answer because they're all on Zoom. And then the dog barks. It all gets very... So sometimes a hot desk is what you need, isn't it?
It is. Absolutely.
We've had a tweet, Paul Andrews, from T-Pole Products.
Yeah, yeah.
And they say we would actually like a Bee Bunker hashtag shout out. Though actually for a cookbook we're a patron of, and they say it's right up Jules's street, Poppy Legion, and these are Twitter handles, at Poppy Legion and at SJ House Official. That sounds like sort of a groovy DJ, doesn't it? House Official.
Yeah, absolutely.
SJ House Official.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of someone you find in Ibiza looking cool. It's a centenary.
Well, he's out on backwards.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've got a few of them driving up and down my road at the moment.
Yeah,
you just know when the hat's on backwards. Yeah. And they're very small. They can barely see over them.
Yeah.
You want to take some laxatives for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they can barely see over the steering wheel. They're so young, these back hat people now that drive along.
Yeah.
Or is it my age? I don't know.
It's probably your...
I saw a policeman the other day. He could barely reach the steering wheel. He's about five.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they've done this SJ House Official Centenary Cookbook. And it's also the Poppy Legion, as I said before. And it's Cooking with Heroes. What a good idea.
Yeah.
And you can find more at Teepol, that's T-E-E-Pol, P-O-L, all one, .co.uk/blog/cooking with heroes. That sounds really interesting, and I shall be having a look at that later.
Mm.
Well done.
Like the sound of that. What should we do? I'm going to read one email.
What should we do?
We've got loads.
I'm going to have a lie down. I don't know.
We've got loads
of things. I've got a boiled egg in a little glass jar in my bag. Should we share it?
Yeah, yeah. We could have lunch.
Although the last time I brought a boiled egg into the studio, you were furious with me because we had guests. We don't have guests now. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But I ponged the whole studio out. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do.
You were furious.
You sat there going, and everybody's going, what is that smell? She's eating a boiled egg.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it?
And they'll go, why is she eating a boiled egg? I don't know.
Because they're healthy.
Yeah, no, and then we got, no, I have to have my protein intake at exactly 21 minutes past one.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it affects my thyroid. And then she went off on one about, you know what she's like.
Aside from the NDT, of course, natural desiccated thyroid comes directly from pig's gland.
Yeah.
We've also had a tweet from the lovely Amanda Flanders.
Uh-huh.
She says...
She's complaining about her teeth.
No. Yeah, she says, no, I don't have horse teeth. You were right, you know her so well.
I warned you.
And she says, by the way, your Mexican squirrels say hi, Paul.
Oh, they're evil.
Yeah.
I was telling Jules just before we came on air, they ganged up on me and tried to get in my back door. Ah, look at them.
Is that your actual video?
That is actually my bird feeder.
Is it me or have you got a new fence? That's a new fence.
It's a new fence, yeah.
Cool, you've been splashing out, haven't you?
Yeah, they're building 60 houses in the field next to me.
Oh, so you've had to do...
We've had to put up a fence so they can't...
What's the company doing it?
Don't know.
Is it Crest Nicholson or...?
No, Barrett's, I think.
Because I was talking to someone and they had a lovely field like that. That's why all the squirrels are coming, because they're being demolished out there. She said that they've just bought a Crest Nicholson house in Faversham, and when they moved in, there were rabbits everywhere, little baby bunnies, and they've all disappeared. Mm. And she also said, rather churlishly... you know, in Graveney, they're building that huge solar plant, which is destroying fields and grazing and all sorts. It's the largest solar plant in the UK. And I said, why are they allowed to build these houses without solar panels?
Yeah.
Why aren't they putting solar panels on factories and buildings? Why are they putting it on fields, which destroys everything?
Yeah.
And she also said that these new builds, the snagging that has to be done when people move in is unbelievable. She said months of snagging. So they're not being built properly.
Absolutely. And now you can't put a gas boiler in either.
What's a girl to do?
Anyway, that solved my problem.
What?
About
squirrels?
What to do next.
Oh, yeah.
Because now I haven't got any time left to do anything next. So I've got to do the thing after that.
Yeah, okay then. You know, I'll get my boiled egg out later.
You get your boiled egg out. But first of all...
Tunage time.
It's cheesy tunage.
Back to life, back to reality. However do you want me? However
exactly,
do you need me?
Exactly.
Good tunage.
Yeah. Back to reality.
Yeah.
Great tunage. Who was that by, just for my...
En Vogue.
En Vogue, yeah. Very 80s disco. Love it.
Yeah.
That's my era.
Well, you see what I did there?
No.
Back to reality. No, you won't. See, I've got to explain that one.
Was it about squirrels?
No, it wasn't about squirrels at all. It's about my next guest.
Oh, okay.
Our next guest.
Yeah. Thanks for slipping the hour in there.
Yeah, no, that's all right.
Nice of you.
Thanks for getting me in trouble with my partner by telling her she's got horse teeth.
Yeah, I'm sure she's heard that before.
I'm worried about the squirrels, though.
One of them looks decidedly evil.
Vicious, yeah.
Yeah, and also, you should call him Sid, shouldn't you?
Yeah.
Vicious.
Yeah.
But they must have come from the new builds.
Well, no, I mean, I've always had squirrels because, you know, I've got all the woodland in my garden, but I think they've had a litter because I used to have four and now there's eight. And
can't you get them on the contraceptive pill?
I've tried, but they won't eat it, yeah. They'll eat everything else.
Put it in a nutshell.
Yeah, they eat everything else. I don't mind feeding the squirrels, but the trouble is they're greedy little things. And once you feed them, and then they come and eat all the bird food as well, and they don't stop.
No,
I caught one of them who climbed inside.
Sorry, it's turning into the squirrel show.
Yeah, he climbed inside the bird feeder, upside down, and the only way he could get out was to eat everything, so that it had all gone, so that he could turn around and get out.
But
again.
Then he was too fat to get out.
But then he was too fat to get out, so yeah. He was trapped in there.
Do you remember me and Dr. John way back in the scoff days? We started a Twitter handle to annoy you called the Fat Squirrel.
Well, you did. Yeah.
Now that was 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So you
and
have
I've
had
been plagued by squirrels. Yeah. My entire life.
I'll have to resurrect that Twitter.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anyway. The reason for playing Back to Life, Back to Reality is I caught up with Alex Kiernan. Alex is a lawyer and director of Locke Associates, and we talked about opening up business again.
Squirrel.
No, we didn't mention squirrels okay. at all. We talked about going back to work, opening up, and flexible working. So let's hear what Alex had to say.
Locke Associates.
It's a pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Alex Kiernan. Alex is a lawyer and director of Locke Associates Group. Locke Associates are employment lawyers who specialise in employment law and employee wellbeing and mental health issues. Alex, good afternoon. Welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show. It's a pleasure to see you.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Paul.
Now, I think the first change we've got is you're actually back at work now. Last time we spoke, you were at home like the rest of us.
I know. Yeah. I was saying I'm all sort of out of sorts almost being back in work, sort of sorting out the IT and Zoom calls and whatnot, as you experienced at the start of this.
Yeah, it's really amazing, isn't it? How we suddenly get used to doing things and then the alternative it doesn't work anymore, you know? I'm very much like that. I went into my office for the first time last week in 18 months, and I had to call my IT guy and go, how do I turn this on again? It's the computer on your desk, Paul. I know, but I haven't used it.
The first day I went back in, I had an IT issue, which I would say is not my issue, just, you know, one of those glitches. But my first day back, I ended up going home. So it was a really successful start back to the office.
Yeah, I think there's going to be quite a lot of that, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and talking about that, why don't we start off by exploring that?
Yeah.
You know, in previous interviews with you, we've talked a lot about the kind of things that were happening while people were working at home. But it looks very much, I mean, I don't want to put my, the mockers on it, but it looks very much like we're going to unwind and start to come out of the lockdown fairly soon. And of course, a lot of places are allowed to open now, and a lot of workplaces are starting to open up. So I kind of want to explore some of the issues you see with people returning to work, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're starting to see a bit of a gradual transition now with people going back in. Obviously, what is it? I think it's the 21st of June. We're waiting for the next kind of big government announcement where we might see the recommendation to effectively work from home if you can for most, change to maybe something more like what we had sort of part of last year, where it's, you know, you can go into work as long as it's COVID safe.
Yeah.
And look, I've got a couple of stats here that I just thought are quite interesting. A sort of June 2020 survey, 1,000 employees were asked how they would like to work going forwards. And 77% out of that 1,000 were saying the best way forward after the pandemic would be hybrid working for them. Yeah. Yeah. April 2021 survey, 2,000 individuals saying, and that showed 40% were going to be splitting their time between home and office. So again, the hybrid working model, and that seems to be like it's going to be really popular.
Yep.
Certainly in the short term with people returning. So, yeah, the hybrid working situation is something that we're spending a fair bit of time advising and talking to our clients about. And for me, I suppose, as an employer, I'm encouraging them at the moment to really think about this issue. That's one of the main things. You know, if you are looking to, as many are, have people return to the office in the near future, then, you know, really, I think the important thing for you to do is to plan and know yourself what your own policy is going to be about home working.
Yeah.
And amazingly, some employers haven't really deeply thought about that yet. And I think that's really, really important, because given those stats I've just mentioned to you, and just given where we are and everything going on in the media, it seems inevitable to me that you are going to get those employees saying, well, hang on, I now don't want to work 100% from the office going forwards, even without COVID. So I think there's going to be a lot of that. And I think that the really important thing from an employer's perspective is to think now what you want to do for your business. Mm. It's obviously not right for all to have hybrid working, home working, or entire. Yeah, it really depends on the situation.
Yeah, interesting. And you throw up a number of interesting points. I mean, from one of my points of view, I think you know, there are a number of reasons why people have taken to home working, and they roughly boil down into two or three areas. One, there's a huge cost and time saving in terms of commuting.
Yep.
So you've got those two elements. But the third element is the flexibility. You know, parents of young children have always struggled with school runs and stuff like that. Mm. If you're working from home, all of that gets resolved. You know, you pop out, you take the kids to school, you come back, you carry on with some work, you pop out and pick them up, and you come back and carry on with some work. It's a perfect solution, if you like, to one of those perennial problems that was causing a lot of people to have to work part-time in order to facilitate their lifestyle in terms of looking after kids.
Yeah, absolutely. But I suppose the point, to put it from another perspective, that I would say about those couple of, what was it, sort of the cost of commuting, et cetera, the time of commuting, the flexibility afforded to the individuals, those are all obvious positives, more so for the individual, not necessarily for the employer. So for the employer, I mean, and everyone will get that. You know, I've been working from home. I get all of those points.
Yeah.
But it's then for the employer perspective, looking at, well, actually, what are the positives to them? And there is some crossover, you know, some that the time, for example. I mean, I would argue on days when I work from home, I probably start earlier because I don't commute.
Yeah.
But I think from an employer's perspective, it's really looking about what are the positives for the business, and happy employees is usually a good thing for a business anyway. So there's that aspect, but also from perspective of, well, how has productivity been for those people working from home over this sort of experimental period? How efficient have they been? What sort of output have they been, you know, performing basically, and how have they operated well or not? Mm. And some of those questions, as well as the benefits of the employees, will probably help that make decisions as to what they want to do going forwards.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of employers, as you kind of intimated earlier, haven't really thought this through. They've just assumed, right, once we can open up, everyone's coming back to work. I think that's going to shock quite a few employers when they are asked about flexi working.
I agree. I think it is. And I have to say, what I'm seeing is a really, really mixed bag, because I've seen it the other way as well, with you know, employers feeling like they are in a corner, and they can't say to employees who are saying, well, from now on, by the way, I'm going to work from home forevermore. They feel like they're pushed into a corner, and they feel like, well, they're very nervous about saying to that individual, well, actually, no, hang on, that doesn't work for the business.
Yeah.
So, you know, lots of those types of conversations.
Yeah,
certainly.
And of course, one of the things, I mean, it's worth raising this, I think, just as a throwaway line more than anything. I saw a survey the other day that said north of Watford, only 17% of the workforce had worked from home.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was mostly, I believe, and I'm being a bit, you know, generalist here, but of course, north of Watford, there's a lot more manufacturing and those kind of businesses where you can't possibly work from home. So, you know, what when we're talking about home working, we are very much talking about office workers and call centre workers, people that, you know, use technology and an office to do their work. Anyone else hasn't got the option to work at home whether they want to or not. And I suppose a second issue there then becomes how you write policies for a mixed environment organization. If you're running an engineering firm or a, you know, a manufacturing company, and your office staff are all going, oh, we're working from home, but all the factory staff are going, well, we've got to come in. Yeah. And when we come in, you're not here, and we can't, you know, we can't ask you stuff. We can't do, you know, we're here, you're there. So I guess that's going to throw up some interesting dilemmas.
I think it's a really fair and important point. I hadn't seen that statistic about north of Watford, but that's really interesting to hear. Mm. You're absolutely right. And I think it comes back to, for me, as I say, the first step right now, if it's not already been agreed, is you as an employer need to think about what you want for your business and what's going to, you know, how are you going to operate efficiently and what's right for you? Yeah. I think then if that does involve one part of the workforce working from home, at least in some part, then the next step is then to think about how you're going to go about that. And you're absolutely right. It's looking then at things like policies and what impact that policy is going to have on other people in the business. You know, and in that case, well, in any case, you need to look at what the job role is and why you're deciding that that job can or cannot work from home. And I think it's inevitable, because you're probably going to get pushback from some people, that you've got a good basis to justify the decisions that you're making. And I think one of the obvious ways to justify that is to look back at the period we've just gone through. And often you'll find, you know, the basis behind what you're deciding, because you've had that sort of lived experience, so as to speak.
Yeah. It's interesting as well, though, isn't it? I mean, I'm just kind of thinking about operations that operate, you know, like help desks or call centres or whatever. Mm. And of course, you will get some people that just don't want to work at home anymore, that didn't enjoy the experience, didn't have the, you know, the space or the wherewithal, you know, or the opposite of what I just
absolutely
said. You know, they love going to work, get away from the kids, get away from the dog, get away from the husband, get away from the wife, you know,
and
go to work.
So
basically, you could end up with a situation in which you have a group of workers all intrinsically doing the same job, some of whom want to work from home, some of whom want to come back to the office. You've then got to work out a hybrid method of managing all of that.
Absolutely. And actually, that might actually work well in some scenarios. But I think I take the point, which I think you're making, is that, you know, it's actually potentially a bit of a management headache to deal with.
Yeah, exactly.
and I think that's right. You know, one of the big things that we're working with at the moment is if you're going to have people working from home, you know, it's ensuring that you sort of give your managers the right training to enable them to manage effectively when they're managing people who aren't actually in the same office as them. Yeah. You know, in employment law and HR, we come across lots of people who you know, frankly, aren't great managers when they're in the office. You know, when people are actually not in front of them, there is a different relationship there, and there are different skills and different ways of managing. So, you know, we're actually providing lots of training courses at the moment with a bit of a focus on sort of nipping issues in the bud and where people are not directly right in front of you. You know, and I think that is a really, really important element.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You know, I'm a great one for being not encouraged by the state of a lot of management. And you can comment on this if you want. I mean, in all of my career, especially in large corporates, I found that we have a tendency to promote people into management positions as a reward for being good at their job. rather than that they possess the people skills and the management skills to manage a team of people. And you especially see that in functions like sales, where you're
solicitors firms.
I wasn't going to mention that. I wasn't going to mention that at all. Where, you know, a top salesperson becomes the sales manager or the sales director. Yeah. And then, of course, what you end up with is someone not doing the sales anymore and someone that's not really very good at doing management and people motivation and people organization.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think that really the point is that it's about, you know, just moving someone into a management position, especially when they've got the added stress of people or the complication, rather, is probably the better word, of people working from home, but not actually thinking about providing them with some training to be a manager and to manage people in the way that you want as well, with adapted policies. There's been a lot of changes. So it's just, you know, it's something that we're doing a lot of work on at the moment. And I would really emphasize the importance with that.
Yeah.
Couple of other things, I suppose, and from a practical level that I tend to come across with home working, I think it's worth thinking about. If you are gonna have home working, you know, it's things like, do look at your contracts, probably have a section in there that says where their normal place of work is, for example, probably should be updating that. Policies we've spoken about, important to look at and get right. Confidential information is another big issue. People, you can see the obvious risk that is created, people having potentially really quite sensitive data in their home.
Yep.
You know, how are they looking after that data? We have GDPR and the Data Protection Act that are there to with some pretty heavy enforcement aspects to it in respect of data held by employers. So it's really important to get those aspects right and to think about things like that if people are working from home. Insurance is another one to look at. Health and safety, when people are working from home, you know, your health and safety obligations as an employer are, they're not any different really when someone's working at home or in the office. You're still required to do your best, in essence, to create a safe place of work. So it's looking at things like DSE assessments, you know, that's, you know, workplace assessments in terms of where your screen is, where your desk chair is, etc. People sitting on a bed with a laptop, not ideal, and going to cause issues also with sickness. So there's a whole raft of issues that need to be considered if you're going to go down that route.
And I think a lot of those have been glossed over the last year, because this was a very unusual situation. The government has basically ordered us to work from home. So a lot of employers have gone, well, okay, it doesn't really fit our policies, but then it wasn't our decision anyway.
It's been a temporary patch, hasn't it? It's been a temporary patch. Yeah. But now, if you as an employer are deciding, actually, this is going to be a longer-term solution, it's really important to think about all of those longer-term aspects.
Absolutely. There's got to be a lot more thinking goes into this and a lot more structure in terms of how we're going to manage everything going forward. Because as employers, we're now going to be liable for this. It's because it's our decision. So I think you're absolutely right, Alex, that, you know, a lot of people need to think quite hard about how they're going to manage this, how they're going to deal with it. And the whole point about hybrid working is it's hybrid. You know, some are doing some are doing another, some are doing it on a part-time basis, some are here and some are there. You know, it all requires management, it all requires processes, and it all requires a way of looking at it that I'm not sure everybody's thought through entirely at the moment.
I think so. And the management is definitely made more tricky by if people are working remotely, you know. And one of the things that just comes to my mind as well is something that I think we're going to see a lot more of. If people are working remotely, there's going to be more communications via sort of messaging rather than face-to-face verbal discussions. Yeah. And I just think that as one sort of unintended consequence of that is that, you know, things like email, and I'm seeing a lot at the moment, sort of WhatsApp type communications, they're blunt instruments internally, you know, and I can just see more disputes getting created, as one example, you know, where people are misinterpreting the sort of blunt instrument of a WhatsApp message. You've also got people actually saying things inappropriately and it's recorded in WhatsApp messages. So I think there's all sorts of sort of unintended aspects and consequences that are potentially going to flow out from this sort of fairly new way of working for lots of people.
Absolutely. And just to add to that, which is something that drives me a bit bonkers, is that people have a tendency to flip between platforms. So
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they'll send you an email, you reply, and then they reply on WhatsApp or in a text message.
Or on LinkedIn,
Or on LinkedIn, and there's no chain. You can't see what the flow of the message was because it's on different platforms. And that drives me bonkers, and that happens an awful lot.
Yeah, I do. I know exactly what you mean, and I do slightly share your pain with that. We need to, but you're right. Again, that's a policy decision, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, internally, are we going to use, you know, one? Are we going to use Zoom? Are we going to use Teams or whatever else there is out there?
Yeah.
It's agreeing that and setting the boundaries and expectations. I mean, dress code is another thing. You know, we've had disputes in relation to that where people wouldn't wear the types of clothes that they have worn on certain Zoom calls if they were in the office. You know, they just wouldn't have done it. But because they're in that home environment, you know, they feel different and sometimes are behaving different, which can be inappropriate sometimes. So it's some of the stuff on these policies you would think is obvious, but it's needed to, you know, to think about that and put it out there and set those. It's about setting cultural expectations in the workplace. Yeah.
I think that's the overall message here, isn't it? That this requires a lot of thinking and a lot of discussion and a lot of analysis in terms of trying to find all the gaps and all the things that, and it's not just things that won't work, it's things that will work too, you know, like, you know, new ways of doing things. And like you said, I mean, I'm like you, I have a number of offices, but I've always had a tendency to work from home. And one of the reasons I work from home is I'm more productive. I work longer hours because, you know, I don't have to commute anywhere. I get up at crack of dawn, 9, 10 o'clock, and start work.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
How have you coped?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, there are also benefits, but those benefits have to be assimilated into the overall thing that you're doing as well.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, what I'd like to do for the last part of our chat, if I may, Alex, is I just want to talk about slightly different and just get your views on this. As we return to work, we're thinking that the government are going to come along and say, okay, sometime towards the end of June, beginning of July, variants permitting, we're going to not insist that you work from home. We're going to say you can return to work, but it must be COVID safe.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to start just exploring what we mean by COVID safe and what are some of the things we need to look at as employers when we are getting our employees back into the office, maybe for the first time in like 14 months.
Yeah. Well, I think the first port of call for an employer is to ensure that you've carried out an appropriate, up-to-date risk assessment of your workplace.
Right.
That should be happening anyway, but it's probably more so a case of updating it depending upon what the conditions are like at that time.
Yeah.
And there's lots of ways that you can get help with that. For example, the government have published lots of guidance, industry-specific guidance that you can find. I think it's on the gov.co.uk website.
Yep.
That will help you and give lots of practical examples of where, for your particular industry, you can make the workplace as COVID safe as you can, you know. And there's all the stuff that many people know about, you know, in the sort of office environment. It's looking at, can you get screens? Do you have a sort of one-way system?
Yep.
Do you have, you know, just things like, do you have your sprays, whatever they're called, the alcohol gel sprays and things like that, easily available when you're replacing them, sanitizing regularly. So there's all of those aspects, but there, lots of those are all set out in those government guidelines.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it is, you're right. There is a lot of information out there. On the Bunker Show, we're trying to put it all together in one place so that you can find all the links and go there and have a look at it. The Federation of Small Business also have some very good resources on this. But you're right. And it's about using common sense as well, isn't it? You know, just a simple thing in one of our offices. We have a water boiler that you make tea and coffee with, which is a communal thing. So we have hand sanitizing wipes, and each time you use it, you wipe it down. And it's just a big sign that says wipe it down after you've touched it. You know, it's interesting. Jules, my co-host, sadly has had a bad reaction to the COVID jab.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and
right.
she was admitted to hospital because of it, and she was going tonto at the hospital because when you go in the hospital, they were spraying you and all kinds of things. But once you're in there, the tea machines and the coffee machines and the vending machines, everybody's pushing the same buttons.
Yeah.
And no one's cleaning it, and you're in a hospital.
Yeah, it doesn't sound great.
Yeah. Which, and she was going tonto about that. She was texting me while she was in there, and she was saying, "I'm going to come out more ill than I went in."
Yeah. Oh God. Well, I hope she's all right now, though.
Yeah, well, she's still waiting, but it's not been nice for her.
Final thing, can I just maybe, so one of the things we haven't covered, and I'm conscious because I think we're going to see a lot of it, is flexible working requests.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, at very high level, an employee with more than 26 weeks service has the ability to request to work flexibly, and you know, that is, you know, is the clue is in the title, really. It's completely flexible. They can put in a request for pretty much whatever they want in terms of change of hours. Working from home is part of it. Yeah. And there is a statutory system in place, effectively, whereby then the employer has to reasonably consider that request. And normally they would follow a sort of process where they meet with the individual, consider their reasons why, look into the details, and then they should be considering whether or not they as an employer can facilitate that. I should highlight, importantly, that it's a right to request it, not a right to have it.
Have it, yeah.
And there are 8 specific business reasons on which an employer can refuse that request. I mention it just because I think we are going to see a lot of it where there is a dispute between or a difference between what the employer's proposals are in terms of home working and perhaps what the employees might want, because they've got those benefits that you mentioned earlier, you know, the flexibility, the cost of commuting, etc. Yeah. So that's definitely one to watch out for and be aware of.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I actually saw an interaction on this on Twitter the other day. Somebody said, I'm asking my employer, and I'm allowed to ask for flexi working. And an employer came back and went, "You can ask, and there's an answer. No." And that's an answer. And they went, no, you can't refuse. And he said, well, we can. And I think that's going to be an area of contention, because a lot of people interpret that as a right to flexible working.
Yeah.
And it isn't. It's a right to ask for it. And a lot of employers think the answer no is just good enough. And I think they need to think that through a little bit more.
Absolutely, and probably not best for an employer to respond on Twitter.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Get in here now. Yeah. Yes. Mind you, it keeps you in work, Alex, so we shouldn't complain too much.
Well, yeah, but we try to prevent things rather than cure.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. And all joking aside, I think a lot of people are going, you know, companies are going to say, right, come back to work. And a lot of people are going to go, well, I found it really beneficial. Can I apply to work flexibly? We've then got to add that to the mix of all the other things we need to think about.
Yep.
And work out how we're going to respond to that, how we're going to go about analysing whether it's a legitimate request that we can service or not.
And this comes back to right now, if you're an employer, this is why it's important, because of all of this, to really think about and consider what your own policy is.
Mm.
So I think, you know, all of these reasons are just really emphasise why it's so important for an employer to consider now what their own policy is going to be, and why are they going for that policy? Why is it justified?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot to think about. Luckily, we're hopefully opening up, and that's going to throw up a lot of issues. But you know, we need to do that to get back. So I think the overall message is, for employers, we need to start thinking about a lot of these issues and how we're going to handle them, and how we're going to look at them. For employees, the employees need to think about how things need to be for them going forward, and whether it's practical to do what they want to do.
And talk to their employer. You know,
I think that's the biggest thing, isn't it? We've got to open a dialogue. Yeah,
yeah.
We have to have a dialogue about this, and we have to be open about it and say, look, you know, some of you want to come back, some of you don't. We want some. We're happy working from home. Some we're not. You know, let's look at this. Let's see what we can do. And it might even at some point involve moving people's roles around a little bit, if that's possible, to facilitate things.
And I think for an employee who's looking to kind of encourage or persuade their employer for them to work at home, should you know, it makes sense in my mind for them to to consider what the benefits are to the employer.
Yeah.
In them working from home, and there may be many, you know, maybe they're more productive, like you and I.
Yeah, exactly. And so you've got to sell it. Absolutely. You go, look, if you let me work from home, let me work flexibly, or let me work from home 2 hours a week, this is what you get as a benefit. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. It needs thinking through from both sides, and it needs some compromise as well, I guess. But I think your point stands. It's about communication, and that's the main thing.
Absolutely.
Alex, it's a pleasure to talk to you as always. Thank you so much for that. Fantastic. We wish you well, and thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lockassociates.co.uk.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
Welcome back. That was Alex Kiernan, solicitor and director at Lock Associates Group, the HR lawyers.
Very interesting what he was saying about working from home, because I agree, you know, so many people have absolutely loved and embraced working from home and got all the gear and the standing desk and things, which you can buy quite cheaply. But I think for youngsters who've perhaps just started at work, the mentoring thing of what they're missing out on, just chatting at the water cooler, just going out for a drink after work, that sort of thing. And perhaps the youngsters haven't got the space in their homes.
Exactly.
So good. And I agree with him also on the WhatsApp and the text, which can be totally misconstrued, can't they?
Yeah. It's really dangerous. And there's so many platforms to message. We were just talking about it now.
Yeah.
Somebody sent us a message and you spend 20 minutes looking for every platform because you can't remember what platform you got it on.
Messenger and Instagram.
You send me a text. I answer the text and you reply on WhatsApp.
It depends how much I've been drinking.
Yeah,
you
that's
know.
True.
Of course.
Anyway, we've got tons of stuff to get through
here,
so let's crack on with some stuff. I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Diamond Circle Weddings, and they say, Vanilla Web Jewel Circuit, our favourite day of the week is Tuesday because it's Business Bunker Day. Looking forward to your interview with Mark from Policy Rural, and Mark's going to be on in about 20 minutes. We're a carbon neutral company and don't use any single use plastics. We're back doing what we love this Friday, which is weddings. Well, thank you for that. That's Paul and Polly, Diamond Circle Weddings. Give them a follow on the Twitter. DC Weddings UK is their Twitter handle.
And the lovely Paul Babra, you'll find him at Paul Babra. He's based at the Food Village at Macnaid Faversham. And is he at the Ashford one as well yet or not?
No, I'm not sure what's happening with the Ashford one. I don't know if it's open, closed or whatever.
Okay.
I don't know.
So he's based at the
Faversham,
the new Food Village. And there is some sort of tenting. So if it is inclement weather, which, blimey, this May and April.
Tenting.
You know what I mean? I don't mean he's... what do you call it then? Tenting.
It's under canvas, isn't it?
Is it? Can't you say tenting?
Yeah, you could say
is
tenting.
Is it rude?
No, it's not rude. It just made me laugh.
Tenting in... it's a bit like tunage, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, actually.
Tenting in Tenterden, that's what I'd like.
No, it's just when I was a kid, you know, when I was a teenager, my mates always go, should we go tenting for the summer?
Oh, well, there you are, yes. It's like the flicks, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's taking you back. But he has a lovely undercover with tenting. Other canvases are available in Macnaid's. So it's called the Food Village. It's lovely. And I just was there with my new husband last Thursday. And the weather was, it was just hailing and everything. But we sat in tenting, under tenting, and we had some chukka chukka beer and some beautiful, lovely Carrara. And he also says that it's a vegan-friendly beer. So they're very good. So go and see him. And he's there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I think.
Yeah,
maybe not Wednesday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Friday and Saturday, definitely.
Yeah.
And his food is wonderful. And I haven't tasted the beer, but then I'm not a beer drinker anyway.
But I had your help.
You had mine, did you? And it was good, yeah?
It was very good.
I've had a tweet from the lovely Susie Fish, and she says, welcome to the Networking Club, a new way to connect, support and grow your business. There's meets in Kent, Surrey, London and Scotland. Meet us at our meet and greet Wednesday the 26th of May. That's manana tomorrow at 2 p.m. And here's the website. It's bit.ly/thenetworkingclub. So that's bit.ly, the Networking Club. Check it out. Register for your meet and greet tomorrow, manana Wednesday the 26th of May, the Networking Club.
Brilliant. Go on, carry on.
Oh, I thought you were going to do one.
I'm replying.
Okay, there's Martin Reeves of Buddy Museum, Buddy_Museum. Could I have a Business Bunker shout-out, please? Have a fab show, and I'm listening live today. So thank you for that, Martin.
Is he in the loft, though? That's my important question.
Yeah, no, Martin buys and sells collectibles on behalf of charities. He raises money for charities by buying and selling collectible toys and items and things like that. Do give him a follow on Twitter. It's Buddy_Museum.
We've mentioned local deaths, haven't we?
You have.
I'm just scanning down. We've had loads and loads of tweets. The FSB Kent Women in Enterprise, the virtual networking. Somebody's written virtual. I like that. I suspect it was you. It's Tuesday the 8th of June, 11 to 12 for your virtual networking. And it is hosted by the lovely Sue Hainsby. Hainsby Sue, you'll find her on the Twitter of Carlene Lettings. And guest speaker is Jade Pluck at Jade Pluck on the Twitter. And it's a little detail thing. Hang on, I'm just going on it quickly as I can. It's all of it is on the Kent Business Radio website, but it's Thursday the 20th of May. Is that gone?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, anyway, have a look on the Kent Business website and you'll find the latest one.
Yeah, I've got some details about that.
Oh, there's one manana, yes, sorry. 26th of May, yeah. 4 to 5 p.m., virtual networking. And it's that's Peter Searle, and he's hosting this free FSB Connect online event with the Metro Bank. And the guest speaker is Stephanie Unthank, who's Director of Infinity Wellness. And you can book there on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website. Just look at events and things.
Yeah, I'm going to do all the FSB events in the second half of the show. So,
have I preempted you?
You have preempted me. Kim Stevens, the lovely Kim Stevens, Caring Kent. I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker show for the Caring Kent at home care workers in Ashford and Folkestone. Thank you to the home care teams who work tirelessly for the needs of our clients to ensure that they feel comfortable, safe and secure. If you see us out and about, give us a wave. We certainly will.
And the Tenterden Chamber says, hi, Jules, and hello to your little helper. Please, can you have a shout out for all the Chamber members who are offering Tenterden card promotions? And you can find them at Tenterden Chamber 1. And a big hello to all you guys. Shop local as always. And my little helper is also the tea boy today. So that's good.
Absolutely. Fort Burgoyne Weddings. We would love a shout out on today's Business Bunker show with the awesome Vanilla Webb and Jules Sirkin. It's a busy week at the Fort. The original sash windows to our casement have been refurbished and are now back where they belong for another 150 years.
I love a sash window.
If you'd like a tour of the Fort, DM us for details, and their Twitter handle is Fort Weddings, F-O-R-T, Fort Weddings. Give them a follow on Twitter, and then book your tour. Go and have a look at the Fort as a venue.
Yeah, I absolutely love a sash window. I really do, and I'm not a fan of plastic windows.
Mm. Well, a sash window, wouldn't need a lead guitarist from...
a punk rock group.
No, Stone Roses, wasn't it? Or was that Slash? Not Stash.
I don't know.
I can't remember. At my age, my memory's just gone. I'll tell you what, though. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. What do you reckon?
Yeah, time for a little bit of news.
Let's do it.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. Channel Radio News Update.